Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and welcome back to the FRL headquarters. I am your host and also your, I guess, your Patreon here at the FRL headquarters. I am the leader of the F4L and one of the founders of the F4L. I am Sean Jazz Stevens, here to welcome you to a short yet sweet edition of F4L headquarters, as tonight I will be, you know, going outside the, you know, trying to, first of all, I'm going to be doing a short show today. Like normally, I would normally go on for a little while and do a bunch of stuff for you guys. But today I just wanted to kind of update people, see how people are doing, add a little tidbits, and also challenge myself to see exactly how much I can do in an hour. Although normally, I got to be honest, I'm Irish and I love to talk and I always have plenty of things to add. And sometimes I feel like sometimes the average 2 hour limit that I normally have is sometimes too short, especially if I have a guest. Time flies when you're having fun at the F4L headquarters. Okay. Well, I wanted to give you guys a couple updates. First of all, last episode, I had talked a little bit about my family, and I know here and there I've talked about my blood family. And as I explained before, my blood family do not have the same views I do on a lot of things, and they are very different kind of people. But I feel like in order to really understand how one becomes an icon and why one would found something like the F4L, I guess we have to do a deep dive in, you know, where he comes from. So that would be my blood family, my mother's family and whatnot. So, you know, some point soon, I'm going to be doing a deep dive on my blood family and my relations and relatives that are blood related. And I'm going to include my step family and the various adopted people into the family. And I want to make sure people understand when normally when I talk about my family and I'm very, very, and I talk to them in a very fond manner, I'm usually talking about my wife and my kids because they are my life and I love my wife and my kids and they live the F4L way like I do. They get it. They understand it. They support it and whatnot. And, you know, we share that collectively as a family unit, the morals, love, caring, compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences. And my wife and I, as parents, you know, we want to make sure our kids grow up in a loving home that is full of acceptance and understanding, if you would. And I think we did a good job. I mean, our kids, for the most part, know they can come to us and talk to us about everything. And they, let me tell you, they do. You know, I don't tell a lot of stories that my kids tell me because, yeah, it's usually between myself and my kids. You know, of course, the funny moments sometimes you got to share. I think I told a story one time around our anniversary, which, by the way, we just celebrated. My wife and I, the years when we first met at a convention many, many years ago, you know, before two kids long ago. And, you know, it's just special because we just celebrated, you know, when we first officially decided to get back together and officiate being a family. And, you know, we just celebrated that anniversary. And, you know, as I told last time, one of the things we did as a family when the kids got older and one of my biggest and one of my favorite things that we did as a family early on, when we finally decided this is going to be the family, we're going to finally stop looking around the world because clearly this woman was my soulmate as I was, you know, for her, the old turtle song, me for you and you for me, no matter how we toss the dice, not to be. No matter. Anyway, I'm sure you guys all know the song. But that is kind of how it worked. And, you know, I don't think I've ever had a woman who, one, can probably out-talk me when it comes to wrestling, comics, pop culture. Actually, sometimes, depending on who you ask, she might know a little bit more about pop culture than I do currently. She has, you know, time to look into the, you know, everyday you know, people. I don't always have time to know who these reality stars are and whatnot. My wife knows all of them. So kudos to her on that. But one of the things that doesn't change is our outlooks on how to raise our kids and how important it is for us to kind of show our kids the past and future and present and give their two cents. And yeah, when kids get older, they want to spend less and less time with the parents. But here's the thing. That's, if you have such a relationship that your kids don't want to spend any time with you or whatever, or they dread it, then you did something wrong there, because our kids love hanging out with us when we can. Of course, we all have, and everyone has their own different likes and dislikes and whatever and whatever. I think the best way to look at it is like the convention model, right? That's how different our family is. My wife and my kids, I'm talking. Me, I like to pay my respects to the fellow celebrities and the fellow, you know, entertainers and stuff like that. That's my forte. I like to pay tribute to them and to, you know, hubnub with a lot of those guys and thank them for inspiring me to do what I do and whatever, or paving the way for me to do what I do. So that part, I enjoy the meet and greets and stuff like that. My wife kind of likes a little bit of everything, really. She likes to meet people, but boy, does she like to meet people. But like when she meets the people, she's very selective of who she wants to meet. But when she meets them, especially like her heroes, and I'm very fortunate enough that I was able to fulfill her meeting some of her idols, i.e. Shawn Michaels. I don't know why I'm blanking right now. Shawn Michaels is one of the people. Cassandra Peterson, who was Elvira. Several other people I got to introduce her to. And I was happy I could do that. One of my biggest things, though, was this past, 2 years ago, but not 2 years, this past August, when we went to back to Monster Mania, I was able to introduce my wife and my son to the woman who predicted them, which is odd, which is a funny story in itself, but actress, horror actress and legend Danielle Harris from, you know, Halloween, Rob Zombie's Halloween, as well as Halloween Original 5 and 4, Revenge of Mike Myers and whatnot. She was Mike Myers' niece in the Halloween franchise, and then when Rob Zombie rebranched his, she was the sheriff's daughter. Danielle Harris is, when she goes to these conventions and these shows, she's got an absolute magnetic personality. I sometimes feel bad for her because she deals with a great deal of, you know, interesting people, especially the creeps out there in the world, because there's plenty of those. We all know those people. But for the most part, people are respective and whatnot. But I told the story before how I was, you know, feeling pretty low way back when, and I was a young lad sitting in a bar, which I don't drink, mind you. So I was having my Pepsi Cola in a bar where everyone else is, you know, making fools of themselves and probably couldn't remember the next day, which is probably why I'm, you know, another reason I'm thankful I don't drink or drug or anything like that, because all of these rare moments that would happen in life, I would forget or wouldn't remember, and that's horrible. But as I was sitting there, you know, feeling kind of sad because, you know, I didn't have any relationships at the moment, and prior to that, my only real true relationship I had was with a woman, the girl that I was going to have a baby with way back when I was 15. And I told that story about October, and I lost them. And I really, yeah, we have our ups and downs in relationships, but then, you know, I would meet, you know, I didn't have anything right there, and I always wanted to have my own family. And as I'm sitting there, and a lot of my friends in high school, and I was, you know, not that old, but my goals were already different than everybody else's who are my age. I was young, but, you know, whatever. But as I sat there, Danielle Harris had walked in and to this bar because, you know, the convention takes place in the same place as the hotel and, you know, the bar is attached to it. And she came over and she saw that I was drinking a Pepsi, and, you know, I told her I don't drink or anything like that. And we got talking. She's a wrestling fan, by the way, as I am a wrestler. And whatnot. So we were chatting about that, and I was telling her how I feel like, you know, women don't like nice guys. And this came from a lot of frustration because I saw a lot of women who were in these horrible relationships with these horrible guys that I knew. And I didn't understand why women like to be with these mean guys, who, people who are rude to them. But in the same sense, why people are blinded by the not-so-nice women, too, and why they feel like they're forced into things. And, you know, really having a struggle with my was. And then Danielle Harris told me, that, you know, just hang in there. And the more you do these kinds of things, going to these shows, I bet you're going to meet the woman you're going to spend the rest of your life at one of these shows. Well, you can add, on top of being a very talented actress, I guess you can add in a fortune teller or a psychic, because almost 3 months to that day, I would meet my future, the woman who would become my wife and the mother of my kids, at a convention, at a wrestling convention, just 3 months after this. So one of those romantical stories, but Danielle Harris predicted that, and I got to introduce both my wife and my son to the woman who predicted them. So that was an interesting moment. And that's one of the reasons why these shows are always so different for people. But when we talk about the differences, you know, with this, you know, taking my wife, my son, my daughter, my son, my daughter, my wife, and myself, like I said, I am more of a people meter. My wife kind of likes to do things. She's a thing doer. She enjoys the little bit of everything, really. My wife can pretty much go with everything. She likes some of the Q&As. She likes to go to the Rocky Horror. That's probably the biggest thing. My wife loves the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Pretty much any show that they're going to allow that, that's probably one of her biggest things. But she likes a little bit of everything, my wife, for the most part. My daughter is more of a cosplayer, which my wife also likes to, you know, dress up and, you know, do those things. But my daughter is definitely the one who likes to show off her creativity and cosplay at these events. She's not overly into meeting everybody, but she, you know, she'll meet people when she can. She's kind of shy at first. Once she gets to know you, she's, you know, all right. My son has the same thing. My son's really not into meeting people as much as he is he's the other person. He's the person who goes for the merchandise. He loves to pick up, like, the random knickknacks and the collectibles and the comic books and the cards and the trinkets or whatever, and that's pretty much what my son likes to do. So, you know, those are kind of the various stages of con people. You got the people who like to do the shows, the people like to cosplay, the people like to meet people, the people like to buy stuff. That's kind of the dynamic of our family. But it's always fun when we go to these things, and I'm honored to be going back and working for Dave at the Monster Mania event in August and September and October. And I'm, you know, happy that I can help him out, you know, and, you know, because he and his family have always been there to, you know, entertain a lot of us, especially myself, speaking specifically. When March comes up, I mean, before March, I always send him the, you know, the dreaded list that he always knows is coming, the dreaded birthday list that I've coined it. And, you know, to Dave's credit, a lot of people, I can't speak to every single promoter about every promoter or every single convention, because outside of Dave and my friend Joseph Bruin, who runs the New England Fan Fest and the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, he works for All Access. He, other than them two, I don't really, you know, have a personally really good connection with a lot of promoters per se, as far as that, as far as conventions go. I know people here and there. I used to know the guys, a couple of the guys used to run Rock and Shock, which is a horror convention up in England, Boston specifically, Worcester. But that's no longer a thing anymore, unfortunately. And I used to, you know, here and there, I'd talk to some other people here and there. And a friend of mine through Monster Mania had told me about a Boston kind of a convention that's coming up. I might check that out. Just to see what they need. I've been through the Rhode Island Comic Con. I worked for Rhode Island Comic Con a couple times. I'm going to tell you, I'm not overly fond of that. it's a different type of an atmosphere and a different playing field. It's not because it's more people. It's just the Monster Mania people feel like family to me, and they can include me in family. At the wrestling conventions we go to, I've been in the wrestling business for years, so I'm at home at one of those. That's my element. But honestly, I'm in my element in any of these, really. That's just me. But, you know, I'm going to be working on bringing Dave on to the show. I did reach out to him, and I can let you know that we're trying to work on finding him some time to come in, as well as some other people. I can also tell you that if you didn't know, Jack Cesar Scott and I did record a YouTube show together, and it is up, the latest edition of the Icons of the F4L. You know, this is something that I've been, you know, kind of toying with back and forth myself. And this is something that I really wanted to address too. So we'll get into that. But first, I want to let you guys know that, yes, Jackson R. Scott and I, Jackson Robert Scott, for those people who don't know, who aren't in the in of the show in the lingo, Jackson R. Scott, for those people who are not familiar with, the actor from both Lock and Key and It and a bunch of other things, a fantastic little short film called Skins, a fantastic film that I can't wait to see called Gossamer Folds, which I can't wait for that one. It sounds like it's going to be amazing, that one. And he's also – one of my other favorite movies is Prodigy, and, of course, you know, hence the name. But Jackson and I worked together and did a show and did commentary with me. It was awesome doing that with him. He had a lot of fun, and we had fun doing it. And he's going to be coming on the podcast here eventually too to, you know, do the old – Q&As, but what I want to do is something a little different than, you know, what a lot of other people have done. I don't like to have the same questions everybody else has. And some of these people do convince, you know, one of the things that I'm proud about this podcast specifically is sometimes we are the springboard people's podcast careers, but we're sometimes like the middle ground. Sometimes we're the, you know, the returns or whatever, but it's always good to have people on. You know, I do take a sense of pride to whoever we have come to the F4L headquarters because we support our people. We support everyone who comes on this show because these are real life dream masters and women warriors of life. And these people who are out there, whatever it is they're doing and following their goals and their dreams and they're putting the work in. That's what we're celebrating. That's what this show's about. You know, spreading positivity, giving tips, and giving some help. It's not always about, you know, yeah, I've had a couple of melancholy shows recently because we've had a lot of melancholy things go on. And I would be doing an injustice and inservice if I pretended not to acknowledge those things. And it would be an insult, frankly, to ignore the things that are going on. But in the same sense, I don't think we should, you know, levitate on all the negativity like a lot of other people do. I believe in acknowledging it and moving on. And that is the biggest thing for me. I believe that we, as people, should just kind of deal with things, you know, and there should be something that, you know, when there's bad things that happen in life, we accept the bad things, we talk about, acknowledge them, and move on. That's how I have always dealt with things in my life. Is it a good thing? I can't speak to if it's good or bad. It's just how I've, you know, learned to adapt to various different things. If I sat around worrying about what happened, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even, you know, a couple days ago, where is that going to get me? It's not going to get you very far by living in the past. The only way to really get you to where you want to be is by following the future and going towards what you want to go and keep on going. The only person who's going to have that kind of, you know, impact on you is yourself. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. You're in control of everything. It is your narrative, not to steal praise of some other companies out there in the world that is. So wrestling news, AEW had a pay-per-view, WWE had a pay-per-view. Wait, did they have a pay-per-view? I think WWE has a pay-per-view this weekend. I think this weekend is their Money in the Bank show, I think. Oh, it's in 2 weeks. Oh, it's 2 weeks ago. Oh, it's next week, 2 weeks ago. Oh, okay. My wife is letting me know when it is. I told you, she's more into wrestling than I am. She knows all about this stuff. Also, NXT is Saturday. I'm sorry, folks. It is Saturday. My wife let me know. See, my wife, although she is getting ready for La La Land, that's what we call in our family bed, as she worked all day, as we all do, and she is tired. She is the person who goes to sleep at night, and I'm the person who gets as much done while I'm awake, which is usually till early in the morning, and then I am right back at it early in the morning again. Ask them, and it's true. But anyway, my wife is, like I said, a big fan. She actually watches some of these things. I don't think she's really eager to watch the Money in the Bank pay-per-view by WWE. And last weekend was the AEW's Forbidden Door, where they did a cross-promotion with New Japan. I could have sworn they did this last year, I thought, or maybe it was just because I was confused because they did this with Impact Wrestling for a blank, and they had people who were on both. I don't watch any of this stuff because just it's insulting, frankly, and I don't want to see my friends get hurt. I've already seen a lot of my friends get hurt recently, and also it's insulting to see some of the people I actually respect lower themselves to be, you know, around such, you know, put in circumstances like this. But in the same sense, they also have to be kind of held accountable because, yes, I might not be happy that they made that choice. That is their choice. But on that same notion, I also don't have to I don't have to necessarily agree with all of it either. And I don't have to – if I don't watch it, it can't happen, right, as this theory I have. Probably not the best feeling to have, not the best excuse for it either. It's just what it is, right? So, you know, that's what's going on in wrestling, this a pay-per-view. And tonight they had, AEW had something called Blood and Guts, which is, this is what they call their, I guess this is one of their big shows, this Blood and Guts thing. And basically it's, you know, what it is. yeah, it's the pay. That's kind of what's going on. yeah, but yeah, she watched that tonight. I didn't watch, for the record. Again, once in a while, I'd look over, and I would just cringe. They were doing this thing where they were basically what this Blood and Guts thing was just a fancy name for something we had back in the 80s. It was called but the name of the thing they had in the 80s was called the actually World War III is technically what the matches, but it was actually War Games is what this pay-per-view is supposed to be. Oh, it's actually not a pay-per-view. I forgot. It's free on television. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm telling you. But when I happen to look up every once in a while, it looked freaking terrible. The pay-per-view, it was a regular show again. Think of it like a Clash of the Champions, which the main event was mixed with one of the biggest and most exciting matches that which WCW ever came up with, was the, I just said it too. The War Games. I don't know why I'm struggling with that, because War Games, also, in all honesty, in theory, I'm a huge fan of these kinds of matches usually. This, you know, WCW, what the heck they were doing with it, though. They started it. Of course, it was a brainchild of one Dusty Rhodes. It was one of his ideas he had. Dusty Rhodes, of course, legendary wrestler, Hall of Famer, late great, I should say. Father of Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes. Dustin, you might know better as Goldust for those 90s fans. But Dustin and – but the War Games originally was the payoff between two very combustible groups usually was what it was in WCW. So, you know, back in the day, you know, you had the Four Horsemen, which was, you know, Ric Flair, Tully, Blanchard, Arn Anderson, or Ole Anderson, then Arn Anderson, whatever. And then you'd have, you know, the various other people who would join the Four Horsemen for the month. And they seem to like be like the original NWO before the NWO was a thing. And before if the NWO, let's face it, is nothing more than a light Four Horsemen gimmick. It is a team group. It's a what they call a stable, which is a group of wrestlers. Flair. But the thing that made the Four Horsemen is they were all successful within it. So you had Ric Flair, who was the world champion. You had Tully, Blanchard, or Arn Anderson, or both, who would either be the tag team champions, and then you'd have another person. The fourth person would be the U.S. champion. Basically, it hold all the gold, which is why everyone wanted to fight with this group. And they were heels. They were bad guys. So they would rival with Dusty Rhodes and Sting and the Road Warriors or whoever. And, of course, this is what led to these War Games fights, which think Survivor Series. But what happens is you have two teams and everyone has them as a double cage. And, of course, the cage is enclosed. But the original rule of a War Games match was, you know, you have two groups every so often. Yeah, someone came in at random, one of the teammates, because you have two teams, remember? But what would end up happening would be that they would they cannot do a lot of things. Oh, 1 second, folks. We got breaking news here. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that nice?
He gave them his real name instead of his wrestling name. That's why he passed the background check.
Oh, boy. So my wife just pointed out, and she's trying to go to bed, but she's still looking at her phone for some reason. She pointed out that former disgraced wrestler, I didn't say WWE, former wrestler, if you want to call it that, even though a lot of us did try to tell people that someone with this kind of a gimmick, there's something wrong there. And I can honestly say I never worked with him, nor have I ever had to be near him. But the gimmick alone was enough to know there was something off about the guy. And, of course, I'm talking about Joey Ryan. On this show, we're not going to talk about his gimmick or him, for that matter, too long. But what I can tell you is that recently it was discovered that Joey Ryan, who, by the way, is under investigation for being a predator, was working for, guess who, Disneyland or Disney World, one of the two. Well, they just fired him because he applied for Disneyland as an employee for the Jungle Cruise. That's, I guess, what he was doing. And apparently he went under his real name and not his wrestling stage name, which is how he got by the background check. Because, again, folks, he is known to be a not-so-nice individual and someone who is completely not someone you want around children, especially not working for the happiest place on earth. Of course, that's Disney World, Disneyland, whatever. So he's been fired, folks. That's breaking news we just get brought to you, just because I have to relay that. And I do have a little glimmer of, as much as I have a glimmer of happiness that, you know, they fired him because he's an idiot. And also I feel better because as a parent, the last thing I would want is someone like that working around my kids if we ever came to Disney World. Of course, fortunately, my kids are too old for Disney World. And for those people wondering, well, you never have kids who are too old to Disney World. Well, no, because our kids are definitely not even in to those kinds of things, unfortunately. But they're not unfortunate. They like Disney movies, folks. Let's be clear on that. They like Disney movies. They're just not into going to Disney World. They're too young for – they're too old for teacups. And in the small world, will probably drive my wife and my kid's crazy, all honesty, but I don't know if the small world is there anymore. I'm imagining it is. Anyway, wanted to relay that. Breaking news. Look at that. Always tune in. You never know what I'm going to say or do here. But anywho, that's kind of what happens. So, but anywho, Blood and Guts was today. War Games, two groups was the rules, and the only way to lose really was by the only way to really lose is to have someone surrender. You would have to wait till everyone was involved in the match. There's two teams, as I said. Everyone comes in, draws a number. Usually, they would have a match prior to this where they would decide who would have the man advantage, meaning that there would be, you know, whichever team would have two guys in the ring at the same time versus one, because that's what had happened there, obviously. That's how the math works. And that's kind of how a lot of that would be. And then what would happen is every so often, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it's kind of like a Royal Rumble, another person would join the fight on that team. And until everyone was involved in the match, and then in that way there, you know, the only way to, from there, once everything was in, the cage would lock, the roof would cave in, and that is when War Games would officially start, once everyone was in the ring already. And tonight, it was nothing more than, you know, what's sad is I said to my wife, this is ridiculous, they're doing all this. This is crazy. You know, busting out thumbtacks and tables and all these things. And I'm not saying that, you know, you can't have blood in the cage match. That's realistic and believable. Unfortunately, a lot of wrestling today, there's no blood in the cage matches, which takes the validity of the authenticity of, you know, how accurate can you get if you're, you know, not bleeding after being, you know, rammed into a steel cage. Because I can tell you, it's not fake news that, you know, when flesh hits steel, steel will win. That's not just a coined phrase. That is legitimately how that works. That's how physics works, geometry, physically, whatever. But, you know, so that's why it's believable. When there's no blood in the cage match, it's kind of pointless to the cage match. And by the way, the point originally of a cage match was to keep people from outside of the ring interfering or the person from running away. That is the original purpose of the cage. This cage is specifically made for War Games. Originally it was called War Games. Remember, folks, we're talking about a different company, different era, and different people running it. This was nothing more than a two-way street fight in a cage in which they had a double elimination, and, of course, there's going to be controversy or whatever. I don't really care. There's just no need for thumbtacks. You know, Sting and the Road Warriors and Dusty Rhodes and the Horsemen, and those fights and those War Games matches were intense. They were believable. They were violent, but they weren't stupid. They didn't need tables and ladders and chairs and who knows what, thumbtacks, to pull off the objective. It's just not how that worked and not what they needed. It was just to have the – it was supposed to be a payoff between two rival groups. In this case, it would be like – back in the day, it would be – like I said, it would be everyone who's fighting with the Four Horsemen and, of course, the Four Horsemen. Of course, when the NWO came to be, and again, it was run by WCW, so officially. So that's why War Games was a thing as well, because of that. Then you had the NWO in War Games and WCW in War Games and everyone else. And that's where that was. But WWE owns the rights to War Games, which is why that AEW has to call their match Blood and Guts. But just because you change the name of the gimmicked match, which is all it is a gimmick match, doesn't mean you need to absolutely take it literal and actually have blood and guts everywhere. That's ridiculous and sickening. People shouldn't be thrown off. I mean, a guy was thrown off a cage again. And you know what's even sadder is the fact that I didn't even watch this thing. My wife did, of course, as always. And I could tell, I said, well, who's going to go off the cage again? Because the last time they had one of these supposed blood and guts matches, and, of course, the same person, the same group is involved, Chris Jericho and his band of Misfit Toys, they were involved in this thing. And, of course, it was him and Jack Swagger. Now he's going by Jake Hager, which is his real name. And Sammy Guevara. And these are people no one's ever heard of. So no point in me telling most of my listeners who these people are because no one knows who they are. And it doesn't matter, really, because at the end of the day, you know, you had John Moxley, who used to be Dean Ambrose for those WWE fans. And his thing is all just, that's all he does is these blood fights because he came from this world of bloody and blood and fights and came from a company that this was like their main focus. And I'm not talking about ECW. I worked for ECW. And yeah, we got violent. We got extreme when it needed to be, but we knew where to pull our stops too. We knew what we were doing. And a lot of our guys, all of our guys are were trained in ECW. And that's what pisses me off the most is as much as people can talk about the difference between AEW and ECW and the violence and whatever is at least ECW had people who were trained wrestlers. AEW has guys and they glorify guys who learned how to wrestle in the backyard. And that is not something that we were taught as wrestlers to appreciate, to respect. That is disrespectful, in fact, for someone to call themselves a wrestler, to work with other people who are not fully trained. Because here's what happens. People are going to get hurt and go figure. Look at all the injuries that are happening in AEW right now. All the guys injured are guys who are very well trained. Why are they injured? Because they're working with guys who are not properly trained. This is a thing, and there's a lot of it. Chris Jericho, who is the leader of this supposed group, was in this match again this year. And, of course, last year there was some stuff because he got thrown off the top of the cage and there was a giant crash pad they use in films under there. And he tried to be foolish and dumb and insult intelligence of fans saying, oh, no, that was legit the ground. No, it really wasn't. You'd be dead. And you could blatantly see the crash pad. Well, of course, then again, this spot came up where a guy got thrown off the top of the cage. I even told my wife who it was going to be and why. The person thrown off the top of the cage was Jericho's new buddy again, Sammy Guevara, who again is someone no one who knows wrestling has ever heard of because he's a nobody. An AEW superstar. I guess he worked for some small companies here and there. He's not done anything of importance, much like most of their roster. I'm not saying not to give guys who are new to wrestling a chance, but get people who are trained properly and don't put them in these kinds of matches with people who are, you know, sort of realistic and someone who could actually fight. How about putting someone in the situation that could actually use the rub, not some schlub who usually is in trouble on social media for mouthing off to the wrong person, which is what Sammy Guevara does a lot. Sammy Guevara, in the last few things, this guy had the notion to propose to his girlfriend at the time at the end of one of the shows. Very romantic, right? Well, except for they broke up 2 weeks later. Why? Because he was cheating with one of the wrestlers. By the way, that's who he's dating right now. And right now, this is the part of the storyline right now. And every other 5 minutes, apparently, they're together mouth-wise on TV. It's too much for TV. Also, today is a regular show. Their AEW Wednesday night edition show is today. It's Wednesday night. It's a school night for those people. I mean, great, school's over. But whatever the case may be, let's be realistic. We know kids are watching wrestling. We're not foolish to this. We're not stupid. We also know wrestlers and the promoters will gear things towards children. We know kids are watching AEW because Tony Khan and the Wizard of Numbers, the Sultan of the Pen, and the guy, the biggest paid rat of them all, being Dave Meltzer, they like to have the numbers go in their favor and the key demo. There's no key demo, dude. You're like the kids and the young teenagers and the 20-somethings who don't know anything about wrestling are big fans of this crap. not guys my age who take wrestling respectfully and seriously. I don't need to see jumping around all over a ring. I want to see good wrestling with storytelling and believable fights. I don't want to see this stupid crap of people taking dumb moves for no apparent reason and having gimmick matches for no reason. These two groups, the Blood and Guts, this time, because again, the Blood and Guts, again, is being called Blood and Guts because they can't call it War Games. Just because you call it something else, we all know what the match is. Could you at least have it the way it was? You don't actually have to be and use Blood and Guts. We know what the match is. We get it. We've seen it since the 80s. It's not a new thing. And that's another thing. All these people who call people like Jim Cornette, myself, Booker T, and all these other guys who apparently were out of touch with modern wrestling. We're out of touch, but yet they're doing this match, this gimmick that started in the 80s, for the record. In fact, all of these gimmick matches are matches that took place way back early days. And here's the problem. When they're doing these matches, because no one's even still alive that do these things anymore, or the ones who are alive, they don't tell them they're doing them wrong. So the issue comes to be that because no one who is able to tell them this, that's not the rules of this match, they get away with making a mockery out of matches that guys built and bled for to make those matches legit, to mean something. And basically what Tony Khan and his Land of Misfit Toys do is they make it a joke. They make it like it's no big deal. They basically mock and spit in the face of wrestling history by just throwing gimmick matches together just for the heck of having a gimmick match. Those were payoffs for serious storylines. And yeah, on story, apparently, I guess Jericho's group of misfits, like everywhere, Jericho always has a group of misfits who's always fighting with someone in AEW. This is a never-ending thing. Because Jericho is, you know, wants to have everyone kiss his ass, and he's the biggest thing in AEW. He's the biggest star in AEW. I can't deny that. He is the biggest star of AEW. Biggest name they have was Chris Jericho. The problem is, he is out of his mind. He and his family have done nothing but spit in the face of wrestling and make a mockery out of it by their personal choices that have bled into the wrestling. And people can say, well, Jericho had nothing to do with that. That was all his family. Well, guess what? Your family or not, Jericho, anybody who is anybody is going to look at your family first and look at you and say, well, why didn't you stop them? You knew they were going to do something. If you didn't know your wife was that kind of an individual, what kind of a relationship do you have? What kind of relationship do you have with your own family where you don't know what your wife is going to do, or she's going to make a foolish mistake, like try to attack the world, the United States, like she did? I mean, and Tony Khan has this guy in the main event today in his group of nobodies. All of these people are legitimately nobodies. They're guys who have not won anything since being in the company at all. They all have ridiculous names. They boast about being wrestling entertainers. And Jericho calls himself a wizard. By the way, Jericho is like 40-something years old, maybe 50. He's the same age as a lot of other guys. And someone want to tell him that he might want to not do that anymore. I don't know what his deal is with Fozzy, his rock group that he sometimes plays with. And, of course, you know, everyone who claims to be fans of, you know, Fozzy and the songs, if you could name me any other Fozzy songs other than Judas, I would maybe believe that you're a Fozzy fan. But that's just because they've learned, you know, jammed it down people's throats. And again, wrestling kayfabe, and Jericho calls himself the kayfabe, in general, you want heels, right? You want people people to like you, but yet you're going to have a song that you know people are going to be singing because you've wanted them to do that. this guy has such an ego on him that I have heard on numerous people that when they were doing were tapings in Florida, Jericho would hold things up in production until the fans and everybody else was singing his the paid fans, mind you, that they brought in due to COVID in the masks and everything else. Jericho had all of them people singing his song and refused to go out there until everyone was singing his song. What is that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. As much as I don't like Hulk Hogan or whatever, Hulk Hogan's never held up a show until they started playing Real American, which even wasn't his originally anyway, but still. And what, Hogan didn't go out there if they didn't play Real American or didn't play the Jimi Hendrix version of the NWO music or whatever. So I can say that at least. Jericho, on the other hand, apparently he's, I guess, too big, I guess, bigger than Hogan. So he gets to have his own music and everyone has to sing and dance to it. And no, I go to a wrestling show to watch wrestling, not to sing rock music. Yeah, it's true. I do enjoy, you know, having music involved, and that is part of the fan experience. But when you make it more about the singing and less emphasis on the wrestling part of it, then you've just defeated your purpose. Just become a singer. Well, wait, he is a singer. That's what God. And then he copyrights everything every 5 minutes. Anyway, that was the news there. I just went off on wrestling for a few minutes. Sorry about that, folks. But I guess it had to be said, and I had to give those ideas. Basically, by the way, the winners of the match, of course, was John Moxley, the face group, wins. Is this the end of this group fighting? Now, back in the old War Games days, this was the payoff to that feud. This was the end of that fight. There was no more fighting after this match. This was the ultimate payoff. This is where the Horsemen and the Horsemen, Flair, and whoever the third guy, and then sometimes J.J. Dillon, sometimes not, would get involved in the cage. And then we'd have Dusty Rhodes, and you'd have Sting, Luger, whoever. Then you have Dusty, Sting and the Road Warriors, whoever the case may be. And you had the same kind of a thing when you had, like, the NWO. You had those guys. You had the WCW guys. You had the Four Horsemen who were part of even that War Games match. Because those were feuds that were going off, and that was to pay off what was going on in the storylines and everything else. And I don't know how vicious this, you know, feud has been, but you know, if they have another match between these guys again in Jericho's group again, then this is stupid. What's the point? That's it. It's done. You already had the match. That's the War Games match, and there's no more going back on this. Move on. And then, of course, now Claudio, who you guys might know as Cesaro from WWE, is now in AEW. You know what? I have nothing against Cesaro or Claudio. I think he's a very talented guy, and I think for a long time he was misused a lot, unfortunately. I think he does have a lot of great talent. But in AEW, it's going to be foreshadowed, and he's going to be another guy who's going to be injured in 3 days or 3 weeks because he's going out there with these guys who don't know what they're doing. He's going to get hurt again. He's going to get hurt. And also, as much as I like Claudio, that's what they're going with, so I can call him Claudio. As much as I like Claudio, he's also injury prone. If people want to be blind to that, you can. And it's not, you know, it's his strong style that he likes. I get that. And whatever else. But now he's in an environment where this is pretty much where they do all these stupid spots and everything else because they're all spot monkeys. Yeah, that was a Jeff Hardy, Jeff Hardy reference, who's, by the way, he's in rehab, folks. For those people who wonder where Jeff Hardy is, he's in rehab. At least he's getting some help, finally. That's all the wrestling news. I've had enough talking about wrestling. There's all this stuff going on everywhere else. You know, the Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison stadium tour is kicked off pretty good. I'm happy to say that we have gotten tickets to said event for this summer coming to our area. I was a good friend of mine who is from the area. Knew it was my daughter's birthday, so they were nice enough to help us out with some tickets for the concert of the summer, which was supposed to happen a couple summers ago. That's okay, whatever, things happen. I was fortunate enough to see Motley Crue when they did their farewell tour. So it'd be kind of cool to see them in their return tour, I suppose. In all honesty, they're all good shows. They're all the bands involved in this lineup in this concert are all top performers, in my opinion. Again, our first concert was Def Leppard, and of course, they're part of this group, this mega show. Really, it's Motley Crue headlining, and then you have Motley Crue headlining, and of course, right after them, you have Def Leppard, you have Poison, you have Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. What a lineup. Here's what I want to know. Who wants to follow any of those other groups? I feel bad for them. I can tell you, historically speaking, Motley Crue is much better as a closer than they are opening for anyone. As I have seen them multiple times, I've seen them supposedly open for people, and it just seems that they kind of forget they're the opening act. Most opening bands will play maybe 4 or 5 of their hits, maybe 10. At most, because the headliners are the ones that are going to go the longest, right? The warm-up act or the other band is just there to kind of keep everyone's attention, so to speak, and get everyone to get ready. Sometimes it can be completely random who that is. My first time seeing Def Leppard, their warm-up, get this, this is a random show. My first time seeing Def Leppard, the opening act for him was Bryan Adams. I kid you not, Bryan Adams. The heartthrob singer of such hits as, Everything I Do, I'll Do It For You, Please Forgive Me, Summer of 69, basically all the low ballads of the 90s and the early 80s, of the late 80s, early 90s. That was Bryan Adams, the original Canadian phenom. And he opened up for Def Leppard, who were phenomenal. They've always done an amazing job. I've seen Def Leppard many times, probably more than any other group, and Def Leppard always puts on a great show. It doesn't matter how anyone's feeling, how everyone else, it's just, they know how to rock it. Doesn't matter if you're an opener or a closer, they are absolutely phenomenal. They play they know which songs work. The new stuff is just as good as the old. It's just really good stuff. I can't say enough about Def Leppard show. In fact, that's what I brought our family to for their first concert, as I said before. And that was the first concert I ever got comp to at the specific venue we went to. We got moved from the 20th row to the 5th row, and that was pretty awesome. Not too being far away from the stage for that. So that was Def Leppard. And, of course, I've seen Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, really good stuff. Really excited to see what's on the lineup for that. And I've actually seen Poison as well. Actually, this is one of the shows I've seen everybody involved at least once. So that's actually kind of exciting. It'll be also exciting for the parent in me because I get to pass that torch and introduce my daughter to this concert. This will be her second concert, really, ever. In her second concert, she's seeing Crue and Company, basically, as it's Crue and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, as I said, Def Leppard and Poison. Bret Michaels, man, can't get worse than that. Or can't get better than that. I mean, that's a pretty good lineup right there. And, of course, my son is going to be going as well, because why not? My wife is going to hopefully get to go. If she has to work, unfortunately, I don't know. We weren't originally planning on going to the concert, but it's a kind of a thing that just kind of popped up. So we want to thank our friend for that. So it's cool. And it'll be a lot of fun. And I hope to give you guys a report on that concert. This will be the first concert I think I've been to in forever. Speaking of music news, I had a couple other things I wanted to mention real quick. Walker Campbell has been doing some stuff as far as the music goes. The Lucky Ones, Jack and Tim, I just saw that they just did a Make-A-Wish, I believe. And that I'm very proud of because Make-A-Wish is something I've been involved with myself in the past. And it's always amazing to see smiles and put smiles on fans' faces when they're going through the worst parts of their lives or they're struggling with their worst parts right at that moment. It's always good when people like, you know, Jack and Tim apparently can step up and kind of help out in those situations, make those times a little bit easier for the kids. The scary times, it can be hard on the parents, on the kids, and it's always good to see. There's nothing better for medicine than a kid's laugh or to see them happy. And, you know, I think I want to say thanks to Jack and Tim for stepping up and doing that for your fans. I heard that news, and I wanted to acknowledge that because that is something that's pretty awesome. And speaking of which, it's time for me to eat some crow and give credit where credit is due. For those people who don't know, I grew up in the New England area, Boston specifically. And, of course, not far away from me, you know, being the wrestler that I am, we have another wrestler from a few – well, there's quite a few wrestlers from Boston for the record, but – I think specifically anyone who in the last, you know, several years, well, 20 for exact, would probably know who John Cena is. And I wanted to say I have actually worked with the prototype in my younger days as John and I have worked together and crossed paths multiple times. You know, when I was still wrestling, starting out in wrestling, you know, Cena was still just getting into wrestling really. Originally his thing was to be a bodybuilder, but he put, you know, that didn't work out. So he went with his other passion, which was wrestling. And well, here he is. And now he's making movies and everyone knows what he's doing now. But, you know, I think traditionally as also then that like professional is a thing, not to get too personal, but a long time ago when we were in wrestling, when you say something to someone, we take it to heart, right? And a lot of my friends I've made in the wrestling business have always kept their word, as I always keep my word. And unfortunately, I don't know, maybe it was a misjudgment and maybe it was a misunderstanding or something like that. It's completely possible. But what happened was you know, when I was still trying to find work in wrestling, Cena had been one of the people, if you ever need anything, let me know. And, of course, you know, when I wanted to come work for World Wrestling Entertainment with him, that wasn't a thing. I didn't get to go towards that. But that's okay. But within 90 seconds, I want to acknowledge John Cena for taking time in helping the kid over there in Ukraine, for making his life a little easier and meeting the fan. That he went above and beyond, and I want to give kudos to my old friend from Boston for representing really well. Guys, this was a short show, as I mentioned, and I'm sorry I went on for a little bit longer than I wanted to in wrestling, but I guess it had to be said, and I want to give those shout-outs. Also, Jaden Brooks is back on YouTube making health videos. Go check out Jaden Brooks. He's doing some big stuff. Proud of him and everyone else. Jackson R. Scott, JoJo the Model, Sebastian, everyone else, and everyone else, may all your dreams come true. Peace from the FWL headquarters.